when God is first, when you put God first in your life, everything else finds its place. So I want to be honest with you for just a moment. Most of us don't struggle with wanting God. We all want God, or we want something better than ourselves. What we do is we struggle with where to put God, how to prioritize God in our lives. We say that God's important to me, and we say that faith matters to me, and reading my Bible matters to me. But sometimes our life tells a different story. We often say things that matter, but what we seek first after really reveals what's in our heart and what's important to us. And Jesus addresses this in this text that I'm going to be in today. We are in a series called Red Letter Words, and in my NIV, it's all red here. I'm in Matthew chapter 6, and the verse is this: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When I grew up, we used to sing a song: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So I grew up saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God." But I love the NIV because it says, "Seek first his kingdom." And it puts the emphasis on God's kingdom. And it's not just some little cute chorus that we sing. Jesus is speaking here, and this comes at the end of this whole section where he's talking about things that we worry about. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to do? How will we survive? Does that sound familiar to any of you? It's the things we think about every day. How am I going to pay the bills? What are my children going to do? How are we going to do this? The gas prices are going up. Who are we supposed to blame? And into this anxiety that's going on in their lives right here, Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Seek first the kingdom." Instead of letting worry lead us around, Jesus calls us to put God first, trusting that when we pursue God and put God first, everything else he will provide. He'll give us what we need. So just a couple of points in that today. First thing, everybody is seeking something first. We're seeking after something first. Jesus doesn't say in here, "if you seek." What he assumes is we're already seeking after something. We're looking for something. We're looking for an answer. We're looking for a gift. We're looking for wisdom. We're looking for something. Success, security, comfort, approval, control. Margie and I in our house, we can't figure this out. We've got one of those smart thermostats, I guess. You can control it from your phone. I think it's more like a smart Alec one. But anyway, we'll set it. Let's pick a number. Let's say 73. Put it on 73. And we'll, like, freeze. So then we'll put it, I'll say, let's just bump it up to 74. And then it's all of a sudden, like, stuffy and everything. I mean, there is no in-between. So Margie and I are seeking comfort. So what we do, we put it back on 73, and then we sit on the couch under Afghans and stuff, you know, just trying to eke out whatever we're doing. We're pursuing something. Oftentimes we pursue approval. What do my kids think about this? What do the people that I work with think about this? I'm seeking to be heard. I want to be heard. I want to be known. I'm seeking people's approval. And the problem with that, you can get people's approval, but people's opinions change all the time. And so you're going to have to be dancing. You're going to have to learn how to dance, because one day you may come in and all of a sudden who you thought you were, you're no longer that person. Some of us, we're seeking after control. We want to be in charge. And then the question is, are we seeking? The question is, what are we seeking first? And Jesus says that whatever we seek first becomes that driving force of our life. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. And so think about your daily decisions. Think about the decisions you make each and every day. How do you spend your time? What are some of the things that you think about? What do you prioritize? I look at Margie, first thing she does every morning, she gets up, she goes into the living room, cranks up praise and worship music, and does her devotions, and writes. She journals like crazy. You should read her journals. One day, I'm going to take them and publish them into a book and make millions of dollars. But she prioritizes Jesus first thing in the morning, and it reveals her heart. And so that kind of sets the mood for the rest of her day. Me, on the other hand, I'm still laying in bed listening to her praise and worship music cranked up. I think she cranks it up really, really loud so that I will kind of get fed secondhand. And so it's like, yeah, I need to get up. And then I'll open up the Word for You Today, and then I'll read that. And then there's another devotion that I'm doing. But what occupies our minds most of the time? Sandra and Jason and I sat in the office the other day, and we were talking about this culture that we live in now. What we do is we work hard all day, then we come home, and then we just turn on the Netflix, or we get on the computer, or we just immerse ourselves in things that don't really matter. You know, in fact, sometimes we just scroll mindlessly. Like, oh, let me tell you this dad joke. Oh, look, you see this person here? This person did this. And a lot of the stuff that we're being bombarded with now is AI. And so now we have that to worry about. What occupies your thoughts? What gets your energy? Jesus says what should get your energy is seeking first His kingdom. My second point is the kingdom has to come before anything else. He says, seek first His kingdom. Don't seek it second. Don't think about your day and then think about the kingdom. Don't do it when it's just convenient. Don't do it after you've got everything handled, because trust me, once you think you've got something handled, there's always a wrench that gets thrown in there. He says to do it first. So what does the kingdom mean? What is God's kingdom? Well, it means God's rule. It means God's authority. It means God's way of doing things. And is that what we're really seeking after? That I want God to rule my life. I want God to be above my will. I want God's priorities to be above my priorities. I want God's agenda to be above my agenda. That's what's seeking first His kingdom. Because the truth, you can't keep following Jesus while you're following your own self and putting yourself in charge. Oh, you could say you're following Jesus, but you're really just asking Jesus to be your co-pilot and to come along for the ride, just to be there in case you need Him. We often, this tension of Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Yeah, we don't want to go to hell, but you know what? I still want to be the king in my life. I still want to be in control. And that's that tension. And Jesus is saying, why are you doing that? Let go of the control. What would it look like if we really put God and seeking after His kingdom first? What would that look like in our lives? Because, and going back to this here, number three, misplaced priorities, when we kind of get them backwards, it creates anxiety in our life. Before verse 33, Jesus talks about worry. It's talking about the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields. And then He even says, who can add a single hour to their life by worrying? You can't. In fact, it does the opposite. It takes away. It destroys. If you put money first in your life, and there are times where we go through where finances become important. You know, I'm buying a house, I'm buying a car, I'm putting a kid through college. Now I'm paying for that kid out of college. Now I've got a family. Now I've got to provide. Sometimes we put money first. But if we put money first, our fear and anxiety becomes loss. How many put a lot of money in their 401k only to see it continue to drop and drop and drop and drop, the interest rate dropping? If you put approval first, I want people to like me. I want people to love me. I want people to listen to me. Well, then my fear is rejection. What happens if I do something or say something wrong or someone says something and I think they're talking behind my back and all of a sudden I'm bottled up with this fear and anxiety? If I want to control everything, if I put control first, then I fear uncertainty. What's going to happen tomorrow? what's going to happen down the road. Because anxiety often reveals in us where we have misplaced our priorities, the things that we put first. God is first. When we put God first, He's saying what you do instead of striving for something, trust. Trust me, I got this. Instead of worrying and staying up all night and chewing off all our fingernails, He's saying rest. Rest. I got this. We can live with confidence when we put God first. Does that mean it's going to be smooth sailing? No. It just means in the middle of the storm, you have an anchor. Last week we talked about it. In the middle of the storm, your house is built on solid rock. It's not going to be blown away because you have sought after His kingdom first. It's like stacking your life in the wrong order. You know, there was a game. It was kind of like Jenga, but I remember as a kid it had a Fred Flintstone head and it had these little stacks, and you pulled the little thing out once you got them stacked out, and then you just pop out the things until Fred's head fell. Once Fred's head fell, you lost. So you tried to knock the things out. Anyway, you put them in the wrong order. What happens? Sometimes it starts leaning, and Fred's head's going to fall before you even strike the tower. You have to build in the right order. There has to be the right priority. Sure, think about your finances. Sure, think about your relationships. Sure, think about those things, but think about God first. Put God first. And don't just make it this I'm going to put God first, and then everything falls into place. No, God is the center of it all. He's the middle of it all. He's the heart of it all. He's the hub of it all. And then everything else, Venn diagrams off of that. So what are you anxious about in your life right now? What is controlling your thoughts and emotions? For some of us, we're going to have a big dinner here, dinner with the church family right after church next Sunday. We're hoping to have dinner on the grounds. We're hoping some of you will bring lawn chairs and that you'll bring little pop-ups and that we'll just spend from 12 to 2 o'clock just fellowshipping with one another. But you know what? We're worried about the weather. It's supposed to rain all week. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You don't have to worry about it. God's already got it taken care of. If it's raining, guess what we'll do? We'll eat inside. But yet we're worried about it. Oh, I wish the weather. Man, it hasn't rained in forever here in Georgia. It hasn't rained. So then it rains, and what do? Gosh, it's raining. I wanted to get out in the garden. I wanted to go to the Braves game, but it's raining. We complain about the rain. We complain because it doesn't rain. Put God first, and that stuff goes away. What are you anxious about? Is it because it's connected to something that you're seeking first instead of God? The thing that we get from what Jesus says here is God provides. Number 4, God provides when we prioritize Him, when we put Him first. He says this, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, Jesus is not saying here, ignore your needs and just be irresponsible. He's not saying that at all. He's saying when you put God first, you can trust Him with everything else. That's His provision due to the priority that we place. This is not a promise of some kind of prosperity ministry. Like, okay, God, I'm going to name it. I'm going to claim it. You have to do it. Your word says that you will do it, and I demand that you do it. How dare you stand before a righteous and holy God and demand anything? We're new creations in Christ, but we are still His creation. And to stand up and to demand from God is... you're messing with fire, the wrong fire. What it is, it's not this prosperity promise. What it is God's faithfulness, God's care. It's God's provision. That's what it says throughout His Word. God is always looking after His people. When the disciples got in the boat after that day on the mountain, they're going out, and in the middle of the storm, and you know what it says? Jesus went up to a place, and He's praying, and He's up on this mountain, and it says that He sees them. He's got His eye on you. There's that song that we sing at funerals sometime. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. When a child trusts a good parent, they don't always get their way. Because as a parent, we have to be good parents. And so sometimes we rebuke and we correct, we train, we do these things. But here's the thing. If a child trusts a good parent, the child never wakes up worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, because they know it will be provided. They know that someone bigger than themselves is going to provide for them. And they trust the one that is doing the providing. Where do you need to trust God more in your life? What would it look like to release control and to say, God, you just take over. My life is just knotted up in worry and anxiety. God, I can't live like this anymore. And God is saying, why have you been living like that in the first place? Trust me. Trust me. And I think one of the things that we need to understand about this is my last point is that seeking Him first, seeking the kingdom first, this is a daily decision. It's not a one-time commitment. It's a daily choice. There are so many scriptures, and we talk about this, and you know, you can believe theologically whatever you believe. I'm just going to trust God's word, and I'm going to live my life in accordance with God's word. But there is some, for some, there's a thought that you could just walk down the aisle. Let's say as a teenager, you walk down the aisle and you give your life to Christ, and they lay their hands on you, and they pray on you, and you have this mountaintop experience. And then you go out, and for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe two or three months, you're living on top of the world, and you want to share Christ with everybody. But then something happens, and then you just kind of go off, and you do your own thing, and you live your own life, and there is no fruit in your life. And yet Jesus says you have to remain in me. You have to remain connected to the vine, but you're not connected to the vine. Oh, you said some words maybe one time in your life, but your life shows nothing about what Christ has done for you. Christ is nowhere on your radar. But yet you're walking around with the hope one day things are going to work out for you. It doesn't work like that. James even says, what good is, you know, these words that you're saying, the things that you believe, if you're not doing anything with it? There are a couple scriptures I just want to kind of remind you of. One of them is, on that day, many will come to him and he will say, they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't I go down the aisle and say this cute little prayer? Didn't they lay their hands on me? Didn't they give me my own Bible with my name in there? The old King James with print like this big. I can't even read it, but hey, I got all of the medals and everything. And he's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. Unless we are connected to the vine, unless we seek His kingdom first over everything. Don't put your faith in a political party. Don't put your faith in your financial future. Don't put your faith in all of these things. People will let you down. Money, the money that we have is here today, it's gone tomorrow. Only God's kingdom remains. To put our hope and our faith there is important. Who gets first place in your life? Who gets your attention? What drives your decisions? Some practical ways, I just want to throw these out to you. Before you get on your phone in the morning, before you start getting distracted with everything, start your day with God. Fall out of bed on your knees and just spend time with God. Filter some decisions, whatever you're dealing with, filter those decisions through God's will. I get in trouble with this all the time because one of my personalities is I don't want to let anybody down. And so sometimes that fear of man creeps in and tries to take control. And I struggle with that, and I have to stop, and I have to breathe, and I have to pray, and I say, God, help me with this. Align your schedules with your values. Look at your calendar, because your calendar reveals what your priorities are. Oh, I got this going on. I got this going on. Well, when are you spending time with your family? Well, I got this going on. I got this going on. When are you spending time at your church? I got this going on. I got this going on. When are you building relationships with people? And the biggest thing is to trust God with things that you can't control. There are so many things I try to control that I have no idea even where to begin to start controlling them. But I still try. Whatever is first in our lives will shape everything else in our life. Jesus is not asking us to add him to something. Jesus is saying, I want to be first. I want to be the first thing you think about. I want to be the first thing, the last thing when you go to bed at night. I want to be the last thing on your mind. I want my words to live in you. I want the Holy Spirit to do a work in you so that you know the truth, that you know me, you know the truth, and that truth will set you free from all of this anxiety, from all of your worries, from all of the things that are holding you down, keeping you captive, because that's the lie of our enemy. Just a short verse, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Just a short verse, but so powerful what Jesus is saying to us. So what is Jesus saying to you? Oh, Father, many of us don't need more effort. We don't need more things. Father, what we need is a new order in our lives. We need to put some things out of our lists. And we need to add things like to Jesus first, God's word. Father, so many times we become selfish and self-centered and our eyes fall on ourselves. And when they do, Father, we take our eyes off of the prize. And we begin to think, okay, I don't need God. We don't say that. Maybe we don't think we're thinking about that. But our attitude shows that, hey, things are going well in my life right now. I don't really need God. I don't really need church. I don't need fellowship. I don't need community. I don't have time for God's word. But there's always a bump in the road. There's always something, Father, that trips us up. And sadly, Father, that's the only time it seems we come back to you. So, Father, I just pray that you would do a new work in our lives, that there would be revival in each and every one of us, that the Holy Spirit would begin to do such a work that we would begin to discern what is important, what should take top priorities in our lives, and to let everything else be like the chaff of the wheat and just gone, to be thrown into the fire because it doesn't matter. Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. And Father, I pray in your grace and in your mercy that you will pour out on everybody here today and that they will seek you first. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.